This is Gary Roseberry. Today's date is Friday the 8th of June, 1973. The time is 2:15 p.m. I will be interviewing Ted Wolderzak of Saginaw, Michigan. The topic of discussion today will be the history and impact of coal mining in the Saginaw area.
All right. Can you tell us a little bit about the type of mine you worked in, the type of machinery in that?
Yeah, that was just of course a coal mine. That's the only thing they have around here. But they have their cutting machine to coal with down there.
They cut it in the face of.
Well, they cut on the bottom. See, the machine, they got a long bar, what they call a cutting bar. I would say they're about 12 or 13 inches wide, maybe a little wider, and they stick out in front of this machine about 6 feet. They have some 7 foot bars too, but
right.
Down Shiawassee, they had all 6 foot bars, and they got teeth in it. The big heavy chain, all that inches wide, and they got a powerful engine on that runs off of 220, off in the trolley current, and they hook on the trolley line and they enter, and then they run into those rooms with those engines, with those machines. See, those cutting machines, they call them. They got them on a trailer. They run in there up to the face, and then they unload them onto the off of the, on the bottom or up on the bottom, whichever depends on if they shoot in bottom or shoot top. See. And they go in there and they run this machine. It's all run on cables, with cables. They think they got a pipe and it's pointed on the bottom, I think it is. And then on top they got a kind of a Y shape in it. And they pick a hole in the top and they put one in there. And then around the bottom they put they got a ring on that cable.
Okay.
And they slip that over the pipe, but the ring is smaller than the pipe. So when they put that over that point, it tightens up, you see. Then they got a crank up here. They tighten up on that drum where that thing winds up on, see. Then they got another cable in the back of the machine that they work on the other side. Now, as this cable winds up and pulls the machine, the other cable unwinds. Now, they can make one go faster than the other. Like if they generally cut in on an angle towards the right side, and then they work towards the left. And they run that machine way in there, and they also got a cable with a pipe on it, that with a pulley on it, that they run these cables and pull that machine so it goes forward in there, see?
And it throws the coal out the back?
And it comes all out in the dust, see? But they cut about a 6-inch cut underneath that, see? Right on the bottom of the coal. That bar runs right down the bottom. Or maybe probably a couple inches from the bottom. Then they turn that thing around and then they pull it sideways, see, with these cables. And it goes all the way across that whole room, and the rooms are about 150 feet wide. I'll take that back, about 50 feet wide, I think they are. And they go all the way across that thing, and then they pull them back out with the cables again. It's all done by cables. And then they take those things, they pull it back to their trailer, and there's two men. One guy runs the machine, and the other guy keeps shoveling the dust away from it, so it's got a place to, because that's a lot of dust comes out of that 6 inches, you know. I'd done that one time, offering a choke with that darn dust. I couldn't, my lungs just wouldn't take that.
The whole 6 inches just becomes dust. Then
all comes dust.
Do you go in there afterwards with picks and?
Well, no. After this machine goes out, and then the digger he goes and drills holes up in the top. See, he drills a 6 foot hole all the way in. He drills about 3 or 4 holes, and depends how hard his coal is to get down. And they load this with explosives. See, with dynamite and powder. See, dynamite will give it a shock, and powder spreads. Don't you see?
Yeah.
And dynamite is more or less to jar the coal so it comes all to pieces. Where powder is a slow pressure and it brings it down, but the dynamite, the jar, smashes the coal all to pieces. See?
I thought they just shoved dynamite in there.
No, not dynamite. They got powder.
They shoot black powder, raw black powder in the hole.
Well, they have a stick powder. What they got over to Shiawassee, they used to use regular pellet powder. See, they had it in tin cans.
Yeah.
But they had their sticks of dynamite. We had a special outfit to haul explosive in a special car. It was all in. Lined and padded so it wouldn't jar.
Right, now, do you all dynamite at the same time?
Yes, they have what they call a shooting time, and that is depending, it's about 15 minutes or so before quitting time, see?
Yeah.
And everybody, and as they go through, they run entries down that mine, what they call entries. They run two of them side by side, see? And off of these entries to the right entry, of course, they turn the rooms to the right.
Yeah. Okay.
And the left entry, they turn the rooms to the left, see?
Right.
Every so far, they have a room. And at the air, that's for air. They put a door between those entries on the main run, see?
Right.
And that works the same way, you know. Then the air goes in this one, and they have breakthroughs every so often, and the air goes through and comes back to go all through those rooms. Well, when the shooting time is, the first guy, probably the entryman, he lights his shots, and he goes past the room, and he says, "All right, Jake, it's shooting time." Jake says, "Okay," but they stay there till they get an answer, see?
Yeah.
And then and as they go out, it's shooting time, and this guy always, all right, John, all right, Joe, you know, as they go out, nobody ever gets in there with the one they're shooting that something would come down. Never had any fatalities of that at all.
In the elevator or whatever?
Well, they get in their cars, and the motor, the Hollywood motor pulls them out, see. He takes them out. They don't walk out.
Well, how was the shaft dug? Was it dug straight down, or was it dug on a table?
No, it was right straight down. Were about an average of 170 feet deep. And then from there on, of course, it sprawls out. Over to Shiawassee, we had about 4 miles of motor road. That's just where the haulage motor is on. It took you about an hour to make a round trip.
Jeez.
To haul coal. And you could haul, you were supposed to haul 35 or 36 cars over there. But my buddy and I, we used to haul as high as 52 cars down there. See, we'd get hell, but we hauled the most coal that they ever hauled down Shiawassee Mine in a certain length of time, see.
Oh, yeah.
And we were a couple of crazy guys. They called us the Gold Dust Twins down there, see. We were the two youngest kids in the mine now, see. we had a picnic. But that's how it is in there. You had hills to go over. It's like having you can go over to West Virginia or someplace, you know. It seemed like down to the ground. Yeah, that coal doesn't all run level.
Yeah, you just follow the vein.
See, as they go up, they shoot bottom, see? And then when they get to towards the bottom, where they shoot top to kind of keep it level,
yeah.
See? That makes good sense. And then we had, on the main motor, like down Shiawassee, man, for gathering, we had mules. See, they had mules down there gathered. That's on the side tracks.
Yeah.
You had your motor road run in, and then you had a double track here. So you shoot your empties right down the straight, or shoot them in the side, one way or another, depending on which was convenient for the driver, see?
Yeah.
They collected all those coals from inside with mules. Yeah, those mules come up only in the summertime. Years ago, they used to keep them down there all the time. You brought them up, they couldn't even see. But towards the end, they used to bring them up in the summer. They'd run them over in the old fit you over here, wild all summer, see? And they had to hang out with them. They used to get cowboys from out west to come and catch them. That's a fact. Yeah, they couldn't catch them. Those guys that lasso them, see.
Huh.
But horses.
They generate their own electricity at those places? Or did it vary?
They generated their own to Shiawassee here. But for over here to Chippewa, as Jeffrey's my right back here, just about 600 feet, they had a power line running in from consumers, but they did convert that into DC. You see, you couldn't have nothing but DC down there because AC would hold you where DC throws you, see.
Yeah.
And they had open trolley wires. You could get a hold of them right there. It was right here by your head.
Unless you grab the two, then you don't get lighted.
There's no two. It's only one. The only way you can grab two is get your hold of the rail. See, that was your...
Oh, yeah. You ground it.
You could hang on that. And the minute your boots leaked, you knew it. It started tickling. So either that or if you really leaked, you went down.
Yeah.
I see a guy one day turned blue in there, though. He walked in between two cars. He got up in that trolley wire and got wedged in there, and he couldn't get out. It couldn't throw him, so he stayed there. And his dad was scared to go in there. So finally, one of the guys went and got a hold of his coat and pulled him out. See, that's the only way you can get a hold of
him. I understand. They do that in a lot of the shops, use DC rather than AC.
It's a good thing. I see a kid when I was working to Eaton there, a guy was working on a switch box there we had, and I was in a two grind at that time. And something was wrong, and he didn't shut the door, and he didn't put the switch back in, see?
Yeah.
And he went after something. He wasn't through with the thing, see? And the guy by the name of Person, his name was, he had his tools in my toolbox, too. And he was a nice kid. Well, we used to chum, his sister and some other people, and we used to chum together. And he went down there, was going to put that darn switch in, and he slipped, and he got in that 440.
Yeah.
Well, he laid right there. Everybody was scared to go. And finally, some guy knew where the switch was. We run over there and pulled the main switch on him.
Huh.
So, well, it's the same thing here. But my dad, he used to work nights there. So he was track layer. The reason he worked nights is he'd do the work that you couldn't do while they were operating, see, because everything was running back. Those motors run about, us haulage motors, we used to run about 15 minutes apart, see.
Yeah.
And if you had trouble, that you had cars off on the track or something like that, you'd work about so many minutes that you'd run back and stop them because there was crooks and turns, they couldn't see us. And if they didn't see it, they couldn't stop a 50 or 35 car trip at once. They'd smash it in and they would have problems, see. But you'd run back there and wait till he came and you stopped and flagged him down. Then he'd come slow, and then he'd maybe help you put your cars on the track, see. Otherwise, you'd go out, you wreck the rails. But my dad used to work nights there, and they had blacksmiths there, and they used to have to shoe these mules, see.
And old this George, is all underground?
All underground, yeah. And George Taylor, he was the blacksmith. See, in fact, I got George Taylor's blacksmith tools right out there in my garage.
Oh, yeah?
I bought them off him, and he needed some money. And my dad used to go in there, and some of those mules, they kicked. You can't do nothing with them. My dad used to crawl under those mules, you know, and hold them up. the back end out. This might sound foolish to you, but this is a God fact. He'd hold that mule up and get right behind it, right close to his hind legs, so he couldn't kick, see? And George would put the shoes on while my dad was holding them up, see? And old George, he used to fool around, you know, and fool around just to see how long my dad could hold that mule up, see? Because my dad, he got started getting wise. George, he says, pretty soon, he says, I'm going to let this mule down. He says, the mule ain't going to kick hell out of you. He says, I am. Old George would say, okay, you can let him down. So that's coal mine. But I say there's a lot of excitement on the coal mine. But this is the pitch. Well, those, like I say, you know, those haulage motors they had there, they weighed around 7 tons, see? And they were all iron.
It's like a
locomotive.
Little locomotive, yeah. Electric?
Electric, yeah. And it runs off a trolley wire, just like your streetcars used to, or any trolley line,
yeah.
Say, runs off from the trolley. You got your pole on there, and you can turn it. So you turn them on a fly when you're going to beat the band, and when you take the pole off, your lights go out, see? And then you try to catch the trolley line on the other side, see? And the motor, when he's supposed to have a light on his head, on his cap, you know, but with other lights, you don't need it, so you forget him, goes out. Then you try to put it on there, and every once in a while, you hit that trolley line, see? And that motor is all iron. Bro, you've ever tasted salt. The old sparks are flying, finally you get it on, see? But you do anything down that thing to make time. It just seems funny, but you don't see any lazy guys down the coal mine. Not that I want to brag, but because you, if you didn't work, you wasn't there. They hired you because they needed you.
They
didn't hire you for an ornament, see?
Yeah.
You couldn't see ornaments down there anyway. But that's how it was down there. When everybody worked. Everybody worked for everything it was worth to get everything done that he could. For the company, not because, but this was the rule. Everybody worked.
Did they pay you by the ton, or did they pay you by the hour?
When you dug coal, I never dug coal. See, but I was a good friend of Boston. My dad was too, so I didn't have to dig coal. See, my brother did. He busted his back all the pieces. My dad used to dig coal too. My uncle always dug coal. But you could make more money digging coal. See, you got paid tonnage there. See, and not only by just a ton of coal. That wasn't the only thing you got paid for. Like if you had, say, 2 foot 2 was the lowest coal they mined in Shiawassee. See, anything under 2 foot 2, their machines wouldn't go in. See,
yeah.
Unless they could take some draw slate with it, that would be some stuff on top that came with the coal.
That they could cut.
Otherwise, if they couldn't cut it, they couldn't do it. They wouldn't mine it. Down here, the Jeffries, they had lower machines. They had some, they were less than 2 feet, I guess. Their machines about 20 inches or something.
Yeah.
And they could get into lower coal, I'd say. But Like you had to have room to put your car in to load a car, so you couldn't load that in 2 feet either because the car was bringing it that high. So they had to either shoot top or bottom. But what they did then, supposing they were shooting bottom so they could run their car, and that was nicer, then you didn't have to throw your coal up, you could just throw it straight in the car, see?
Yeah.
But anyway, they posted on both sides, real tight together, posted about every 6 inches, see? That's what they call breakers, see? And then they put a couple of posts behind it. They had to post all this up inside of these rooms to hold this earth up. That rock, see, otherwise it come down. And you had to work in that stupid thing, see?
Yeah, that's...
But those coal miners, they're wise to that. They just take their pick and they can sound everything out just what it is. And if anything that sounds funny, right away they set a post up, see, so they don't come from down. And so, of course, then they drill a hole in the bottom, see?
Yeah.
Right in the middle. Or if it's hard rock, or they put one on each side, perhaps, see? And then it breaks up. And then they pick all this up and load it in the car, and that gets hauled out, see? But that's how they get room to go in there. And the entries, they do the same thing. Only the entries, they only run so wide. But the entries are the main two drags, and from there on comes the profit from the rooms, see. But they mine coal entries too to help defray the cost of running these entries, don't you see?
Yeah.
But then they get paid for this. So much a yard or so much a foot, whatever, so thick, so much a yard. They had all different scales that they'd like to get paid for. Set timbers they put up, you know, to hold the earth up in between that roadway, they get paid so much for each, they call them bars, see? Paid so many bars.
Then they have
surveyors come, or the measuring man, the measure. They come around to measure. Every payday, before every payday, they measure everything all up. See, so far, then they put red chalk on. And if he was a real good guy, you know, a smart guy, he'd bring along something, he could take that chalk off, and he'd go back about 2 bars and put the X, don't you see? Then he'd get paid for 2 extra bars,
yeah.
See? And then every once in a while, you know, because they put this all down in the book. See, if you've got a good measuring man, you know, generally the pit boss and somebody else that he takes along for measuring all these things up. Some places like Shiawassee, they had a couple of guys, they couldn't do it all in one time. See. And they go to work and they bring their, if something sounds fishy or something, they go up and get the report and figure out how many bars he had and how far he was in there, and they come and check on him. Of course, that's when he goes on the carpet and he either loses his job or...
Yeah.
I know one guy over here, and it happened to me, my uncle, too. He cheated, and my brother caught him at it. Well, they took him in, and they told him he's all through, of course, and they pleaded for him. They said, okay, don't, you can go back to work, you know, but he couldn't take it. See, he was a guy, he knew, everybody knew that he cheated, so
yeah.
He quit.
Yeah.
Poor old guy, he was a good old guy too. But that's how it was. So now, then they get paid for different things they do there.
Like your blacksmith got paid weekly wage?
He
or?
Got paid a scale, yeah, daily wage.
Yeah,
see,
daily wage.
They didn't pay it by the hour there. If you worked a half a day, of course, they'd give you so many hours of work, or if you worked 2 hours. It would be figured out in the hours how many times, how much part of a day you got. If you got
yeah.
sick and you went home, today you get sick, you get paid anyway. Them days you looked like you was sick, they didn't pay you. But that's how it was. But you worked, I know when I worked there, I got $7.75 running motors, see, running the haulage motor. And
mm-hmm.
when I was riding a trip, I was getting paid $7.50, see.
Yeah.
That's how my dad got $7.75 because he was a track layer.
That would be a daily wage?
That was daily wage.
Back in?
That was back in, oh gosh, 1927 or 28.
Yeah.
Yeah, 27. Yeah, 26. In 28, I got married in 28. In 29, they shut Shiawassee down in the spring.
Yeah, why'd they do that? They run out, the coal vein run out? Or?
Well, not always that. It's sometimes the cost of operating the thing is so high that it doesn't pay for itself. See, you
yeah.
got so far to go to haul this coal out and everything. And of course, they keep that thing running as long as they break even sometimes just to keep the guys working, see?
Mm-hmm.
But at that time, the old depression was coming on, and so there was just nothing left to do but shut her down.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
I wouldn't help my dad pull iron out of there, just pulling all the rails and stuff out. Like that for a couple of days, then I got laid off too. I was the end of Shiawassee mine. That thing was there for a long, long time. I was there for about 25 years or more.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And then, like I say, that was the extent of their machinery. Outside of having big pumps that they pump water up and pumps inside.
They had ventilation, power ventilation systems in there?
All steam power. You know, they didn't have any. Well, I don't know, they might have had electric on the fans at the shaft. Yeah, they blow your air down the air shaft. See, they have two shafts sunk. See, one main shaft,
yeah.
that's where the air comes out.
Yeah.
And then they have an air shaft where the air goes down. Of course, they got to have a heating unit there to heat the air because in the wintertime,
yeah.
the moisture would freeze that thing down, which happened over here a lot of times. But I used to, over the Shiawassee, anyway, the pump man there, anybody went down, you had an engineer there all night because they had steam boilers there to make their electricity and stuff, see, and run their steam engines. They had a steam hoisting engine there, and that baby really hoists 2 cars a minute.
They lift the whole car out?
They
had
one car going down, one up, see, counterbalance, see.
Oh, yeah.
And then when you go down to that cage, they have a, well, like any other, where they got a safety on it, they got spurs on the side, see, and then they
yeah.
got these guys fastened on the side where they're always greased up, you know, but they put big holes in there like that where they bolt them onto the framing, the shaft framing, see.
Yeah.
And then when the cable, of course, on top has got two arms, when that pulls those arms up and it hangs on, see.
Yeah.
And, of course, that brings in those lugs on the bottom, see.
Yeah.
And then if that cable should break, this thing is heavy and it comes down and these spurs go into these wood bars and catch those holes. They're especially made big so that they don't slip on this grease, but they don't catch that notch and then they cut in there. One time it's a job getting them out of there. That happened
yeah.
in Shiawassee several times. One time there, in the morning, the brake drum on the steam engine was froze up, you know, with ice on it.
Yeah.
And they got there late, it was bad weather, you know. And of course they must hurry to get the miners down and they're supposed to check these cages out. The engineer, he runs a little con bar, and used to be an engineer. And they run those cages up and down, see that everything works before they put the men out. See, they run them up and down 5 or 6 times, see the brake everything worked. Well, that morning, the old Western superintendent, he was always by the cage and he loaded the cages. See, there wasn't too many men got out. There was only allowed 6, see.
Yeah.
Well, if they was in a real hurry, they probably had 7 or 8 gone, see. Well, that morning, they were in a hurry anyway, and they put the guys on that first cage without trying them out. And she went down, those guys, they were in the hospital for months, some of them. They flew 10, 15 feet off the cage when she hit bottom.
Gee.
Couldn't stop. The ice on there was just like so much, the drum wouldn't hold them. He said they didn't have time to reverse the thing.
Well,
they went down, they got all busted up. So that's, but he could drop you with that steam, they could just drop you. You could feel your legs just almost leaving the cage. That's how fast he's going.
Oh, yeah?
When he'd pull you up,
didn't
the cage seemed to stretch like, you know, you got a jerk and jerk and up you'd go. And it's really interesting. Well, it's interesting if you like excitement, and of course that's what I liked years ago, was excitement, and you got it there.
Didn't they have spurs in the cage that they sent the men down in?
Yeah, Oh, yeah. But as long as that cable was tight enough to hold them up, they wouldn't go. See, but when he got to the bottom...
Oh, I see the break.
When he got to the bottom, then them things covered quite a speed before that cable lets loose, because that cage is tremendous. It's all iron. See, it's heavy.
Yeah.
And so when that thing got a start, naturally you try to hold it. See, he'd have probably been better off if he'd have just... Well, he couldn't make it go fast enough to hook. The cable have to break in order... Because that steam, I guess the governor on there wouldn't let it go, and he's so fast. Otherwise, he'd have that cage jammed in there half that way. Them boys on that cage, on that engine, they knew what it could do out there, and they had to haul up.
You were saying something about their union and about hearings and that. Remember talking
about
that?
Yeah, we didn't get that yet?
No. I
know. Well, like I say, if you got in trouble over there on account of something, why you, of course, the boss naturally turned you in. So he could let it go and probably tell you, all right, now, Jake, whoever you were, you know,
yeah.
I don't let that happen again, because the next time, you know, I'm going to turn you in, I'm going to have to, because you can't expect. He was a company man evidently, and he wasn't going to let his company pay for something that they weren't getting. It's no more than right, or in any case, for you or anybody else. So, of course, if he caught him around again, that's what he did. He'd catch them, and they'd go to work, and they'd have a kind of a hearing at their meetings, and of course they'd invite the superintendent or whoever was going to be in charge for the company, and in this case here was Alex Jeffrey, and they came in there. Of course, Alex Jeffrey, he wasn't a guy to hold a grudge. He was a very, very good boss, I'll tell you. He was the owner, and so they had their hearing, and they allowed to let him go back, see, first of all, they said no. First, they lost his case, and then, of course, then they pleaded for him. See, because he's wrong. He violated the rules, and so you're done. See, that's all there is to it. And they didn't have to take him back. My brother fired him, see? So, then, of course, that's when they pleaded. The union pleaded for him. And they agreed to let him go back to work. And this is how it worked. Like in a lot of things today, you don't have that in unions.
Yeah.
I know when I worked over there, you come over there, and when your steward, the guy that you're paying, it comes over there and fires you because you don't do enough work or don't do your work right. The only reason he should have to fire you, and this happened in the coal miners union too, even at that time, if you violated any rules of the union, well, they could automatically fire if you wanted. They'd kick you out of there. You'd be gone, see?
The union could
kick you out of the union. They wouldn't fire you, but they'd kick you out of the union. It was a closed shop. You couldn't work.
I see.
Automatically, they didn't fire you off from your job. They just took your card away, and you didn't have none. You didn't have belong to the union. You couldn't work that much. You did. So you got fired. Call it what you like. But that was, otherwise, I think their coal miners union was very, very good. They was for the men, and like I say, old John L. Lewis at that time, and he was really a crackerjack. I'll tell you, he was for his men, and I'll tell you, he was for them. You bet he was.
Did you? More or less, work for your supervisor, or you just come around and check once in a while to make sure that you were working, or did you work for yourself?
Well, when you're digging coal, you work for yourself.
Yeah,
with all peace.
But the boss wasn't always there looking.
He see that you didn't go to work and leave your room half tempered up, that you was in danger of getting killed. He come around, the superintendent, the pit boss, we'd say, not the superintendent, but the pit boss, and he'd come around, see. My brother over here was pit boss over to Jeffries here, and of course Harry Shearer was our superintendent. Yeah, when I worked down here, while I was pumping, I started to Jeffries, mind you, the Chippewa. I started there as a pump man. See, I'd have to lay pipe into all these rooms where they had water, and you have to. When I first started, they had a little generator on top, a 10-horse generator. See, that the electrician made up. We had a very good electrician over here. His name was Cecil Marr, and. He made up a 10-horse generator. It's all right as long as you had one pump or two pumps. That thing would haul, see, and it turned on the lights. And of course, you had power in all the lines, too. Only it was only 10 horses, see.
The steam generator?
And no, it was electric. See, they had that. It was a generator he made here that it was run. The generator was run by AC, but this
was
a converter generator,
yeah,
more or less. That's what it was. And so then finally, that thing wouldn't pull all the power, and we put an extra pump in, it wouldn't haul it. And so every time that thing would blow a fuse, I'd have to climb this air shaft, 170 feet up a stairway. It was a, you know, winding stairway, cross one way, and then over and up, over and up, you know, up to 170 feet. And you get up there, and you go in, and you put a new fuse in, and you stay there for a while, and it was working. So back down you go, and you get down, and the lights was out again. So back up you go again. Now, you know, this isn't fun when you have to walk up there about five or six times in one night. So I said, well, I'll fix that. So I put a copper wire in instead of a fuse. See, what he used for a fuse was a piece of solder. See?
Yeah, yeah, that's what they used to do.
Yeah, and but the solder melted too quick. So I put a copper wire in. Well, the next time the lights went, I went up there. Well, the fuse didn't go up, but the generator did. It was all full of smoke, but he burned it up. Yeah. So, I, of course, when I was in trouble, I had to call the electrician. He was my survivor, you know, the helper.
Yeah.
If I got stuck down in the mine, if something didn't work or the pumps blew out or anything happened, I'd call him. He'd come out and correct it for me. So. Yeah. But then he came out that day and he says, he went up, first thing he looked and looked at that, and of course, I went and took the copper wire off and I put a piece of solder back in. See?
Yeah.
And he looked at me and says, is this what was in there? I says, yep. And I said, okay. He knew better.
Yeah.
But so he's all right, I'll show you how to start the big generator. So then I started the great big generator in this, that they run the whole mine with. Of course, then I went down and I was hauling my pipe in. See, I was running, my brother was pit boss then, see. And so he comes in and Teddy says, you know, when you run this motor down here, so they can tell that on top. I said, I know it. They had a needle up there that showed how much power you were using.
Yeah,
see?
Amp meter.
Yeah, amp meter. It showed that, see. I don't care. So when I went up, I went to superintendent right away. See, I said, "Hey, Harry, I said, how about me running that motor down there?" Well, he said, "You're a damn fool if you walk." He says, "You got that motor." So I'd run to all the walkers right as far as I could. The end of the lines, and I said, "I'm gonna walk the rest of the way." See, but I'd haul all the pipe in for him at night. See, which I wasn't supposed to do, but if they had to do it in the daytime, and the pipe was 20 feet long, and some of those turns, you had to pull those pipe on one end in order to be real sure you get them around. See?
Yeah.
Well, I do that at night myself. I put cars on the back end, and I just go in slow, and I pull those pipes away from so you wouldn't hit in the ribs when they turned, see?
Right.
So then they didn't have to do that, see? So, of course, then finally, old Jim, a guy got killed down there when I was pumping down there. Jimmy O'Day got killed. And so I knew it bothered me, so I watched him help carry him out, see? It was basically all smashed right flat. And a big chunk of rock came down. So I got, my nerves went to pieces. And of course, the superintendent boarded across, went over there and told him I had quit. I worked one night, but I was all tense all night. I just couldn't do that.
Yeah.
Because I think I know what's the matter. But all he said, Jeff wants you to, he called up Jeff then. He said, Jeff wants you to work a couple of weeks. He'll give you a guy to work with you, maybe get over it. So I worked a couple of weeks. I told him, there's no sense. I don't want Jeff to spend a lot of money for me. I said, why? So all he said, he wants it that way. So let it be. I said, he was a great guy. And so he did. After 2 weeks came up, I quit anyway. So I went back to old picker work where I used to work years ago. Then I worked there that winter, until that thing went. Next fall, he came out here and he asked me, Bill Reese. Then my brother had his back up on a bomb. He quit. Bill Reese, he used to be a machine runner. His back got hurt, but he took over the foreman job. Then when he came out of the hospital, pit boss, see, he came over here one night. Hey, Ted, how'd you like to run motor down here? I figured I'd never go back in the coal mine again. And he said, well, who's going to ride Trip? Well, he said, Johnny Rieger's going to ride Trip. He said, we wanted him to ride Trip, and they had a guy there they called Buck Jones. He'd run over you with a motor. He didn't care. So they got him out. They fired him. And so they wanted me to take the job. So I did. So I could do it. But all he said is, Johnny Rieger said he'd ride motor, ride Trip, as long as you would run the motor. That's Marshall Rieger up here. He said, we used to buy, whiskey from him, wouldn't drive me, see. So we knew the neighbor over here, he knew him real well, see. And, well, he was my trip rider then. See, we went down and we hauled coal that winter. Well, you know, down in mine now, you got what they call motor road for motor road, and then they have light iron, see, for inside, see. They have narrow rails inside.
Oh, yeah.
We run a gathering motor, and Bobby Leitz up here, he's dead now.
Two different gauge tracks, one is
not two different gauge, but heavier rails. The gauge is the same, although, but the rails are thicker.
Yeah.
They got a wider ball on top, see?
Yeah.
That gives you more traction, see? And that's for regular motor, but inside they have no, well, when we run, you know, you cut creases in your tires that they put on. They put these tires on, too, with that tire that's shaped like this and with that knob on here that you don't run off the track, see?
Tires, or you mean iron wheels?
Iron tires, yeah. They put on them. You see, when they put those wheels, they cut those ones off with a torch off in the wheel, the old ones. Then they take the other ones, they put them in a bonfire, and they get them red hot, and they expand. Then they got hooks made that one guy on each side carries them, and they carry them down the shaft, down the cage, and they slip them over on these things. They got to watch them real close, and they shrink on. And they got to crack that wide all around when they put them on. And then when they shrink them so tight they can't. Well, those cut in there deeper. And one time I was coming down there, we was gathering, and